Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, August the 7th, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the third paragraph, beginning with, "In some circumstances we have gone out," reading through that one paragraph ending with, "of what the terrific consequences might be." Today's readers are Joni C. for the 12 steps, Susan R. for the 12 traditions, Penny C. will be reading the text, Elsie M. will read page 164, Ken W. H. will be our backup reader, our newcomer greeter will be Anne-Marie M., and our second hour host will be Leah S. The reference number for yesterday, August 6th, Tuesday, 7 a.m. meeting was 21,631, 21631, and the 10 a.m. meeting is 21,632, 21632. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Joni C. I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Susan R. from Rhode Island. Recovering from compulsive eating, having that desire. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal energy at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the third paragraph, which begins with, "In some circumstances we have gone out," and ends with, "of what the terrific consequences might be." We will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Crystal, and everyone on the line. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered and very grateful compulsive overeater from the Boston area. In some circumstances, we have gone out deliberately to get drunk, feeling ourselves justified by nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, or the like. But even in this type of beginning, we are obligated to admit that our justification for a spree was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. We now see that when we began to drink deliberately instead of casually, there was little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation of what the terrific consequences might be. I see this whole chapter as warnings. I was told early on in my 12-step experience in studying the Big Book is that this book is full of directions, promises, and warnings. And this chapter certainly has a lot of warnings for me, especially the man of 30 who was sober for 25 years and then, you know, once he retired, went back to drinking, was dead in 4 years. So God has gifted me with long-term abstinence, but this really warns me, this chapter warns me that today or tomorrow, if I'm not conscientious and continuing to improve my conscious contact with God, I could go out there and be just like that man of 30. But this paragraph tells me that I was, that maybe I went out and ate deliberately. Well, on further, my first thoughts when I read this paragraph was, well, I never did that. I don't relate to that. And I was taught that this whole book what I should be doing when I read this or study this whole book is to see myself, to see where I could identify. And so, and further though, as I started to reflect on this, I realized that in an alcoholic marriage and an unhappy marriage that I was in, and I would be called all kinds of names, the least of which was fat slob. And it would, I can remember distinctly thinking, I'll show him, and going right to the food. Right to the food. What else was that but going deliberately, even though I didn't realize it? Another thing I knew that was when I was studying in school and in grade school and college, whatever, that, you know, as I studied, I'd start feeling a little bit anxious about, you know, remembering everything I was studying. And it was like, without even my permission, I was in the refrigerator. So basically, you know, it was deliberate without even realizing it. I was looking for the ease and comfort that came with that first bite, but I didn't know that. I didn't have any idea. And in this last part of this paragraph, there was little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation of what the terrible consequences might be. And just like it says here, it was the same over and over again. Once I put that first bite in my mouth, I couldn't stop. Nothing could have stopped me. So I am so grateful that my higher power has seen fit to keep me abstinent all these years with the help of all of you and studying the big book. And I'll pass.
Thanks so much for getting us started, Penny C. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday this week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap
Welcome
up your share.
Welcome to the Amish.
Who would like to share
G's
today?
From Boston.
Boston.
Reconference.
Reva P.
The pound sign.
All right, just so you know, I've heard Katie G. from Boston. I heard Mary Ellen and Reva P., but I missed a few people. And if
sorry.
I could ask for some help, I'm not sure if you can hear. There's like a
Jennifer C.
Some background.
Pound sign.
Okay, I've got Katie G., Marie Ellen, Reva P., Jennifer C. Did I miss anybody?
Beth B.
Beth B.?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else would like to share today?
Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina.
Sandy S.
Annette F.
Annette F. Perfect. Okay, let's stop there. Here's who I've got. I've got Katie G., Marie Ellen, if you can give us the first initial of your last name, Reva P., Jennifer C., Beth B., Sandy S., and Annette F. So if everybody could please give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and location when you share so we can all find you on the member list. If I can ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Katie G., followed by Marie Ellen.
Hey, Crystal. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. And I have always thought I was justified by my nervousness, anger, worry, depression, anxiety, everything. I thought I, you know, just had a mental illness and then I needed a pill, or I thought I had, a diagnosis that needed a pill, and that if you had these feelings too, you would eat too. Because I was a victim of my life. But the problem is external circumstances don't make me eat. Just like I've heard that, you know, the disease is in the parking lot doing push-ups. It's not. The disease is inside of me. And over any period of control, any period of time, the disease is always getting worse. So I definitely felt like I was a victim of my life. The other thing is I thought I was an emotional eater. I thought, oh, I'm just going to eat because I feel this way. I'm just going to eat because I feel that way. But I'm not. I'm the real compulsive eater. I have an allergy of the body, which is activated after I take that first compulsive bite. And I have an obsession of the mind. And an obsession of the mind is a thought that blocks out all other thoughts so that I have no choice but to have eating be a step up from my thinking. So, you know, my loss of family, my whatever, it doesn't matter. And you would think that, you know, having a husband, having children, having anything would change my behavior, and it never did. But I always was justified defending, rationalizing my behavior through my experiences. And thanks be to God, you know, I came into program and I had a lot to learn. The first thing I had to learn is that life is hard and that I haven't paid all my dues, even though I grew up in an alcoholic home and blah, 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 right? Like, life is coming for me and it's not comfortable. Secondarily, I learned this isn't Get Comfortable Anonymous. This isn't Feel Good Anonymous. In fact, I have been through, over the past 20 years, I've been through a lot of discomfort. I had felt really poopy, but I am still, thanks be to God, continue to go to God. And I just want to say too, like, I have a disease of alcoholism. I don't have a disease of alcoholism. I wake up an unrecovered compulsive eater, and every day I do. God does not make too harsh terms if I honestly seek him, and I have to seek him through step 10, my spot check inventory, step 11, my nightly review, and step 12, practicing these principles in all my affairs. The solution is God. It is not this big book. This big book is teaching me. It's a treasure map to God, and thank God I don't have to justify, rationalize, or defend any of my behaviors today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie G. from Boston. Next, we've got Marie Ellen, followed by Reva P.
Good morning, everybody. This is
Welcome to the
Ellen G. from New York, and I'm so grateful to be here. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. When I heard the passage today, or the paragraph, the first thing came to my mind, and it came the other day, too, when I was on, is that when I'm in the food, I am alcoholic when it comes to food. That is the bottom line. And when I
recognized
am in the mindset of the food, I remember I would begin to toy with it in my head. I didn't forget that I would eat it out of control. I just didn't care in the moment. I would sort of know, let it whiff in my head, oh, this is going to be a lot. You're going to keep eating it. But that's what I wanted. I wanted this substance beyond everything. So I forgot the pain I felt when I did it. I only wanted the momentary gratification, and that was everything. And I realized, like, I would look at pictures, which I hardly ever wanted anyone to take. They usually took them without me knowing. And I would cringe and cry. I hated myself. And I hated myself when I went to my clothes. And it messed up every single aspect of my life, especially my own identity was totally wrapped in, up in hating myself. But when that food called my name and I toyed
with it,
I got in the ring trying to fight with it. That food won, and I didn't care about all the other things. It's like all that pain got in until I jumped in the food, till I was in it completely, till it had control. Until the next time when I saw my picture, or when I looked in the mirror, or when someone made a comment, and I lived in the
Hi, sorry, this is Krista R. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yes, Crystal, you can hear me.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I think, Mary Ellen, your line maybe got muted. Do you want to? So we lost you about
a
minute ago.
Please re-enter your conference number followed by the pound sign.
All right. I think we're having a bit of a disturbance on one of the lines. So maybe we'll move forward. And Maria Ellen, if you want to try calling back in, I can get you in if you'd like to finish up. So maybe next we'll go to Reva P, followed by Jennifer C. Reva, press star one to unmute. Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Yes. Good morning. This is Reva P, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. For me, this paragraph is referring to the halt eating, you know, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I do remember times where I was so angry and so disturbed, and I didn't know about program, and I just had to take the edge off, and I just needed something to quiet the disturbance. And for me, this whole chapter is catapulting me into this sort of crescendo crisis of why I need God, why I need to jump to step two. Because yes, I have an allergy of the body, but I cannot just do abstinence only. This is describing the graver nature of my disease, the mental twist, the mental blank spot, the mental obsession, all of that stuff where my mind will take me back to the thing that kills me and keep me in the vicious cycle. And, you know, I used to think the halt eating, like I just needed God then to take the edge off my anger and God to help me with loneliness. But, you know, the anger, resentment, fear, all that stuff, when I start doing the work, they're all based on false beliefs. It's not that God helps me handle anger better. It's that when I do the work, I realize there's no need for anger. I'm just seeing the whole thing totally backwards, totally 180 degrees backwards, because everything is based on self. Everything is based on self. And there's my spiritual disease. So the deeper I go, you know, we say this disease is progressive. The more the disease progresses, the more I have to go deeper and deeper into that God connection. And the steps remove the blocks, so I access and then develop and keep developing and growing my relationship with this higher power. But this is really convincing me every single paragraph. I need a power because I cannot will myself out of the mental twist, mental blank spot, and selfishness, right? I just can't. So I love these reminders. I love these reminders to keep growing spiritually because I need a power. I cannot do this stuff when it comes to the food. Other things in life, okay, but not this. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Reva P. from Toronto. Next, we've got Jennifer C., followed by Beth B.
Good morning. Thank you, Crystal, for your service. Thank you all for being here this morning. So I remember when the word powerless started to apply to the brain, to the mind, right, to the mental obsession. I understood that I couldn't have just one. That got beaten into me, right? Like, couldn't deny it anymore. I couldn't deviate and get away with it anymore. Eventually, it would take me back to a binge. I saw that crystal clearly. And then I had to learn what it actually meant to be completely powerless over the mind, over the lies, the same lies over and over again. I'm going to believe the same lies over and over again, and each time they're going to sound true, and then I'm going to believe that they're a lie right after I believe them, and I realize, oh, I got duped again. And I believed a lie, but it sounded true. And it's going to be the same lies over and over again. And the insanity is that I'm going to find myself over and over and over again in that same cycle. And the lie that I'm going to feel better, right? I'm going to feel better if I pick up the food. I'm nervous right now. I'm worried. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm jealous. I'm going to feel better. The truth, nothing makes me more nervous, more angry, more worried, more depressed, or more jealous than being trapped in this addiction. That's the truth. No matter how worried I am, once I pick up the food, I'm more worried eventually, right? No matter how angry I am, when I pick up the food, man, I become a raging lunatic. But my disease doesn't tell me that. It says you're going to feel better. And it's right. I'm going to feel better for maybe 10 minutes, and then I'm going to feel worse. Powerless over these lies. I believe them. They sound true. I get deceived. And then my eyes are open once I take that first bite. And then I make another firm resolution. And I believe myself this time because I mean it. I mean it. And then another insane idea wins out again. And I'm back in the food. I'm powerless. Powerless over the cycle. And here's this great exchange that happens. Where my brain's first thought used to be eat. Nervous, eat. Angry, eat. The great exchange is now my first thought is angry, do a 10th step. Nervous, do a 10th step. Pray, pick up the phone, get on your knees. Those are my first thoughts today. Why? Because I've been restored to sanity. So I recoil from the hot flame, and I don't just recoil. I turn towards truth. I turn towards power. I turn towards freedom today. I recoil and I turn. And that's the result of being restored to sanity. It's that great exchange because all my emotions feel like hunger, right? They all feel like hunger. Why do I eat? Because I'm hungry. Because I'm hungry, because it all feels like hunger. And you know what it is? It is hunger. It's hunger for ease and comfort. And I learned to find that ease and comfort through taking these steps. Through prayer and meditation, and through my relationship with God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. Next, we've got Beth B., followed by Sandy S.
Hi, this is Beth B. from Michigan. Thank you so much, Crystal, and everyone on the line. I have been calling in Division since 2018 and have had some good recovery, but I finally admitted to myself yesterday that I'm in relapse, and I have never shared before on the line. And when God prompted me to get on this meeting and we read this paragraph today, I just felt like, is it God or is it God? It's God. And I definitely have been dealing with lots of feelings and restlessness, irritability, and discontentment, and the food is there for me, and it's, again, like others have shared, it's just a lie. It helps me feel better for just a moment, and then everything is worse. My sanity is impacted, and I don't react in ways that are rational. And what just really jumped out at me is the justification for a spree was insanely insufficient. This is just not a solution. The solution is in God and my powerlessness and surrender, and I'm looking for some help to get back there, and I'll be reaching out and finding a sponsor to walk me through the steps again. I've tried the steps a couple times, and it seems like something always ends up happening with my sponsor, and I have to start over. But I know that I just need to stay here, stay with you all, reach out to you all, let God in, and I can, again, recover from this illness, and that's my hope today. And I will pass. Thank you all.
Thank you, Beth B. from Michigan. Next, we've got Sandy S., followed by Annette F.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina. God performed a miracle for me 48 years ago. I have no idea why. I experienced this light. I've shared this on the line before. But this is the most important fact in my life today, a light going from my heart to the boyfriend I had hugging him, his heart. And it's there's no words for the experience. It was love. I can't even say what it was, but in that moment, I knew that I could not have this incredible experience like nothing I've ever had in my life and compulsive eating. And in that moment, abstinence and God, love became the most important thing in my life without exception. So I just wanted to share that because that is so much stronger and will always be stronger than any of the things that make my life unbearable, you know. And the biggest thing that makes my life unbearable is my brain. You know, I really should be in brain sickness. I'm powerless over my brain. And God is healing my brain. I just want to say that God is healing my brain. Everything that was said about food applies to my brain. My brain, like, hates me. I don't, you know, I have no idea why. But that is the root of the compulsive overeating for me. From an early age, I just hated myself. I had all these intense feelings, and I never felt I would ever get what I need, which is love. I mean, it's so strange, the whole thing. So I just want to end with this, that I do have, not only am I powerless over food, but I'm powerless over this part of my being that attacks me all the time and that thinks I also am very dependent on people. So I just want to say, for me, it's going to be a lifelong process, to which I'm so happy to have other people to travel with, of finding real ease and comfort. And the real ease and comfort is in withstanding all these onslaughts of really horrible emotions and thoughts. I don't know where they come from. But I don't care. What I care is I just want to keep opening up to God's direction and love. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. from North Carolina. Next, we've got Annette F., and we'll be taking some more names. Press star 1 to unmute, please, Annette.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. This is Annette F., and I am in Florida. And I absolutely qualify for this wonderful program. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering gratefully. So this paragraph, I mean, immediately jumps to the memory of, I don't care, I'm going to eat. So, I couldn't stand being hungry. I just couldn't stand it. And I had to eat. I had to make it go away. And I've had years of abstinence in the past, but somewhere along, and a wonderful, beautiful spiritual experience where my life changed completely. But this last time around happened one day at a time, slowly edging God out, never even thinking about it, and then I definitely not started. I felt like God threw me under the bus, that He walked away from me. So the feeling of hunger would exacerbate that feeling and belief, and I had to go for the food. But there was never enough food. I mean, that's the problem. There's never enough food to make that pain go away. Maybe I wasn't hungry anymore, but everything that caused the hunger was still very much there. And I would do exactly what this paragraph says. I had to do it. I had to go out. And to the point where I was in enough pain that I reached out gratefully to a former sponsor I had years ago and loved her and moved out of the state. So I'm in a completely different space. And I called her, and she the first thing she said was, are you looking for a diet or are you looking for a change? Because when she was sponsoring me, it also was a long time ago, and the big book wasn't brought in like this. So I said, no, I'm not looking for a diet. I know how to do that. I'm looking for, a spiritual change. And she turned me on to vision. And then I was blessed to hear someone say that all she did when she first came on Division was listen, just listen. And she said she listened for a long time, I don't know if it was a year, but it was long. And I went, okay, that makes sense. And I started tuning in every morning and just listening. And what I'm shocked at is months later, I did get a sponsor, and we walked through the steps, and I kept listening to the point where recovery came in, period, one day at a time. I mean, one day I went, oh, wow, I'm like recovery, which is a real treat. And so...
Time, please.
Okay, so being desperate was good, reaching out to who you know can help is good, and staying on this line and listening every day is better. Thank you, God, and thank you, everybody, for being there. I pass.
Thanks so much, Annette F. from Florida. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we are at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the third paragraph, beginning with, in some circumstances we have gone out, reading through that one paragraph ending with, of what the terrific consequences may be, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Lynn S.
Lynn S. Would anybody else like to share on this paragraph today? We've got time for more people.
Stephanie R.
Catherine.
Stephanie. But Stephanie
Catherine
R. and
H.
Catherine. Catherine H. That's great. Is there anyone who'd like to share?
Kira F.
Sorry, is it Kira?
With a D, Dara.
Dara F. Perfect. Thank you. We have time for a few more. If you haven't shared before, this is a great day to share for the first
Nancy
time.
Nancy P.
Nancy P. And I can take one more name.
Leah L.
Leah L. Perfect. Okay, let's get started with that list. So if I could ask everybody to please make sure you share your first name, initial of your last name and location when you share so we can find you on the member list. And if everyone could please press star 1 to mute your line. We'll start with Lynn S. followed by Stephanie R.
Good morning, Crystal. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, it's funny, every time I read this paragraph, the one time that really sticks out in my mind about going out deliberately to get drunk, going out deliberately to compulsively overeat, I was going to a meeting. My sponsor was speaking, and I was just stuck in this 8-year relapse that I could not get out of, on and off. And I had bought all these binge foods on the way to the meeting, but I hadn't eaten them yet. And I thought, I'm going into this meeting. My sponsor is speaking. So I took all the binge foods and I put them in the garbage container at the parking lot, went into the meeting, and for whatever reason, I got ticked off with my sponsor. I think she wasn't paying me enough attention. I wanted to talk to her. I was in distress. I have this food, you know. So I went, left the meeting, and I went back out to the parking lot, and I'm standing there, and my sponsor is busy chatting away to other people at a car about 75 feet away from me. And I'm looking at her and I'm so angry and hurt to begin with. And I'm madder and madder that I go over to the garbage container. Somebody put Tim Hortons garbage on top of mine, lift that off, grab out all my binge foods and stand right there at the garbage container, shoveling the food in my mouth, staring her down, just staring her down. That is the strongest. I know for all the other years, I'm sure I ate deliberately, but that one with the rage and the hurt and the, it just stands out as the most vivid recollection of deliberately eating at somebody, deliberately getting drunk, deliberately standing there in so much pain and anger and shoving the food down. It's such a vivid memory. I think the word is visceral. Like, I feel it in every fiber of my being. Thank you, God, that that doesn't happen anymore. Do I get angry? Do I get hurt? Do I get scared? You betcha. I wish that I was one of those people that immediately thought, oh, I'm going to do a step 10. I don't. I perhaps think about maybe I should do one, and I am getting better at it. But I'm still so darn grateful that I don't feel the need to eat at anybody anymore. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. from Toronto. Next, we've got Stephanie R., followed by Catherine H.
Hello, family. This is Stephanie R. I'm calling from Missouri. Just thinking back about my food behavior and the crazy things I did, I sort of wanted to just claim my seat and just sort of reflect of how my behavior was when I was truly in a state of misery. When I remember during the horrible experience of 9/11, I deliberately, 2 days after that event, flying from Missouri to New York to be with my sisters, go into the city to hit the restaurants that were still open so we could just be in a restaurant alone and binge our heads off. I mean, that's a sickness. Just, I can't even believe I had been to that point, and that's just one of the many sort of truly very dangerous things I did in my eating behavior. I always want to just say my gratitude of being in a program that I can recover and be a recovered individual, because I don't ever want to put myself in a position that I would get up in the middle of the night and go to certain places to get my binge food and wake up with just crumbs all over my face and my pajamas and just feeling so very helpless and not knowing where I was going to turn next. When I came into program, the very first meeting I went to just brought up so many emotions that I was never allowing myself to feel. But I left the meeting and I went and ate all my binge food. But I went back. I went back to the meeting and I didn't do that the next time. And I began to understand what it was to be abstinent, but not what it was to be recovered. And it was only until I started going to A Vision for You that I understood that abstinence is a beautiful, beautiful thing, but to be recovered and to be in a spiritual relationship and have such a wonderful experience of checking in with my higher power before I start my day. And at the end of the day, I would have never done that without a program of recovery. So I really just wanted to claim my seat and say thank you, God, for the clarity that I have, and thank you for guiding my day. Every single day I wake up and check in and say, God, what am I supposed to do today? And that's a beautiful place to be. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. Next, we've got Catherine H., followed by Dara F. Catherine, press star 1 to unmute, please. Catherine, sorry, we don't hear you. All right, maybe let's go to Dara F., followed by Nancy P. And Catherine, if you call back in, just let me know, and I can put you in. Go ahead, Dara.
Hi, this is Dara. I'm sorry.
Is that Catherine?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Dara, if you can hold on a minute. Catherine, go ahead, and then we'll go over to Dara F.
Thank you.
We can hear you, Catherine.
But I was really angry, and I came, went into another room, and I phoned a fellow. I did a 10th step, and I said that I was absolutely determined that I was not going to eat on this. And then I went off to an exercise class. I did a sort of a yoga and relaxed and calmed down. Just wanted to share it and just express gratitude for really this program, because I totally used it in a really real way in real time. And I usually... There are so many times that I would have either eaten over it or just completely shut down, you know, done something else, binge watched something, done, you know, got on my phone and scrolled, or somehow white knuckled it to the next meal. And this time I really used the tools. I used the program. It passed, and I can now completely see his point of view and where he was coming from. And, you know, it wasn't right what he said, but it's, you know, so not a big deal. And he's human, and it's completely passed. And but in the past, I would have felt absolutely justified to eat on it, and it would have just made me feel so much worse, and it would have really made me resent him and blame him for the whole thing. And the truth is, he can't make me do anything. It's all about how I react and what I do with my reaction. But it was just an amazing experience. I mean, I want to say amazing, but at the same time, it kind of wasn't amazing. It was just really practical, down to earth, and just taking things step by step, kind of acknowledging my feelings, basically standing up for myself, taking care of it, and not expecting him to, you know, take it back or say sorry, or I have no control over whether he does that or not, but I do have control over how I deal with it. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you all so much for being here, and thanks to Crystal for doing service. Lovely to hear you.
Thank you so much, Catherine H. Next we've got Dara F, followed by Nancy P.
Hi, this is Dara F. in Virginia. I have never shared on this line before for the main part of the meeting. I'm relatively new to vision, but I'm not new to OA. I've been abstinent in the program for 5.5 years. But all my life, I have been a compulsive binger and a compulsive dieter. I have had some extremely successful diets where I've lost 80 to 100 pounds, kept it off for a certain period of time, months, years. These are actually, not, I've done this about maybe once a decade or so, but there always came a time where I said, enough of this crap, can't take it anymore, want my old life, want the food, want the comfort, sick of it. And I always went back to the eating, and it was generally pretty intentional. Every time I've like broken a diet, even if it's been a long and successful one, and even if I've had like a lot of feelings of self-esteem from the thinness, I just did this start eating again, and I know I'm changing my ways and it feels weird, but it I've gone back into that old comfort, and once I've gone back into that old comfort, there's been no stopping, and I regained the weight pretty instantly. Now, thank God, even in OA, I did, I believe, assisted dieting group assisted dieting. I had a lot of success with it. I don't know how long it was going to last, but I'm much less miserable, much more happy, much calmer, and feel much more of a sense of purpose working the steps deeply and feeling like this is a way of life. It's not about food. It's not about dieting. It's not about controlling my food. It's about eating right, of course, but that's not what it's about. It's about my relationship with my higher power, loving and being what God wants me to be, trying to seek out God's purpose for me, trying to improve my relations with the people around me, and trying to spread love and kindness in the world. And that's what seems to be working for me. And it's a different kind of abstinence. It feels so much better. And I feel the relief of food is nothing compared to the relief of getting rid of the obsession, which, thank God, I didn't know that was possible. And thank you so much for letting me share, and everybody have a fabulous day. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Dara F. Next, we've got Nancy P., followed by Leah L.
Hey, good morning, Crystal. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So my existence is like a jungle, you know, and I got to hack my way through, and I got to figure out what am I going to do here, and what about that, and oh my God, and eating and not eating or whatever it is, and it's like way too much for me to deal with. And you know, I never thought about terrific consequences or not terrific consequences. My mind was not separated from my body. My body told my mind. My mind told my body. Excuse me. And what I needed to do, I see in the end, was I had to separate the two. You know, like toddlers that are fighting. Okay, you're in this corner, you're in that corner. You're not going to talk to each other until you can calm down. But I couldn't even do that. And, you know, that is what alcohol and torture is, the intersection for me of the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. And, you know, like people with epilepsy, they have a surgery sometimes, or I don't know if they used to do this, where they separated the two halves of the brain so that one didn't control the other too much. And that's what I needed. I needed to, you know, separate the two, you know, the allergy of the body to the obsession of the mind, where one would spur the other or the other would sabotage the other or whatever. And, you know, anytime I tried to sit on my hands so that I wouldn't eat birthday cake, anybody who can identify with that, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I tried for decades to do that. I tried to be wicked abstinent, or I tried not to binge too much, or I could feel it coming on, but there was nothing I could do. And I didn't care. I mean, even if I thought about, you know, the guy, the job, the dress, the event that I didn't want to do this before, it never worked. And, you know, until I was broken, bashed, bruised, and bloody, you know, and beaten to death practically. And, you know, so here I am. What am I going to do? I'm in this jungle. And in the past, I would mistake, you know, abstinence, feeling better, for being better. But it's not, because what about all the times that I wasn't eating? And I'd say, why am I still so angry? I hate this. And, you know, we all know what I'm going to say, surrender, surrender, surrender. But what happened when I surrendered was I didn't need a machete to hack through the jungle anymore. It just magically turned into a cultivated English garden, you know, my life did. And today I don't react the same way that I used to. And I'll give you one example, and then I'll finish up. This is when I first recovered, so I don't know, 6 years ago. And I was in my dining room with my husband, and he said something very innocuous, like, what are we having for dinner tonight, or, you know, something like that. And I was instantly as I've ever been in my life. And instead of doing anything, my hand automatically went to my phone, and I picked it up, and I made phone calls for about 45 minutes. I was lucky enough to get 3 or 4 people. And for the next, you know, and then by the time I was off the phone, you know, I felt better, and by the next day, I had forgotten what it was about, and I still have forgotten 6.5 years later. And that's been the pattern of my life since I surrendered, that my life doesn't own me, and it doesn't force me into my default position, you know, manufacturer's default position of restlessness, irritability, and discontent. You know, today I live, you know, just exactly
time,
the way that I want to. I'll wrap up. You know, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I help other people. I don't hurt myself with food. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And that'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. I'm so sorry, Leah L. We've run out of time. I'm hoping you can stay and share on the second hour. That's all the time that we have for sharing today. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday for your service this month. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, August the 7th, 2024 Eastern Time, 7 a.m. meeting, is 21,638, 21638. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will LCM please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then.
Good morning, this is LCM from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.